From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, June 8th, 2017. And on this day, the U.S. government says Maine owes it more than $51 million intended for the Riverview Psychiatric Center. And Maine Senators Collins and King in today's Comey hearing. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
Former FBI Director James Comey told Maine Senator Susan Collins today that he helped publicly reveal details of private conversations with President Donald Trump. He said he was hoping to get a special counsel to oversee the probe into Russian interference into the election. As Steve Missler reports, Collins' line of questioning and that of independent Senator Angus King helped illustrate the competing political interests in an investigation that has loomed over the Trump presidency.
The day before the Comey hearing, Senator King thrust himself into the national spotlight with tough questions for national security officials about whether the president had pressured them to scuttle the Russia investigation. But on Thursday, it was Collins who took the limelight with this question to Comey.
Did you show copies of your memos to anyone outside of the Department of Justice?
The memos, in this case, are Comey's personal accounts of meetings he had with the president. In his response to Collins, Comey revealed that he had helped make that account public.
And my judgment was I needed to get that out into the public square. And so I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with a reporter. Didn't do it myself for a variety of reasons, but I asked him to because I thought that might prompt the appointment of a special counsel.
The revelation spurred a slew of follow-up questions by GOP committee members. And it arguably bolstered Republicans' concerns over leaks that have fueled the Russia controversy ever since Trump took office 6 months ago. But Comey defended his decision, saying he feared that the president would lie about their conversations after Trump fired him in May, an act the president later acknowledged was designed to lift the cloud of the Russia investigation. And Trump's apparent desire to steer the Russia probe is where Senator King chose to focus his questions. King asked Comey how he interpreted the president's request to let go of the Flynn investigation.
When a president of the United States in the Oval Office says something like, I hope, or I suggest, or would you, do you take that as a directive?
Yes. Yes. It rings in my ear as kind of, will no one rid me of this meddlesome priest?
I was just going to quote that in 1170, December 29, Henry II said, who will rid me of this meddlesome priest? And then the next day he was killed.
The quote is a reference to King Henry II, who publicly floated the idea of killing the Archbishop of Canterbury before the Archbishop was assassinated the very next day. The quote is meant to illustrate how suggestions by powerful people can be interpreted by subordinates as official orders. And in the current context, the historical reference has real meaning, especially for Democrats and those who believe that the president may have violated the law by obstructing a federal investigation. The Comey hearing may not have answered that question, but it did show the priorities of Collins and King, who are playing key roles in a highly politicized investigation that has captured national media attention and may very well determine the future of the Trump presidency. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Federal officials have informed the LePage administration that the state is improperly using federal funds at the Riverview Psychiatric Center. And as Mallory reports, that puts the state on the hook for more than $50 million.
The letter from the regional director of the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare, Richard McGreal, says the state owes over $51 million to the federal government for funds that were improperly used to help pay for the operations of the Riverview Psychiatric Center in Augusta. McGreal says the state should have stopped drawing down federal funds back in October of 2013, after two surveys found the state was improperly mixing patients with different needs in the same unit, and the facility was decertified. Governor Paul LePage issued a statement calling the demand a financial tsunami, and that he blamed on the legislature. Senator Jim Hamper of Oxford, the Republican co-chairman of the Appropriations Committee, says he's still assessing the letter and whether the state can appeal the decision.
Well, it has the potential for being a big problem. in the short run, I think we can deal with it as far as the biennial.
That's the two-year state budget now under consideration. Hamper says the letter indicates the state is continuing to draw down federal funds for the center, and filling that shortage with state dollars could cost about $28 million that would have to be added to the budget bill. The Democratic co-chair of the committee, Westbrook Representative Drew Gattin, says it's too early to say what the committee will do.
There's a lot that I don't really understand yet about this letter and what the ramifications are and what the merits of any appeal might be that the state might have.
In his statement, LePage said the legislature should set aside the $51 million in the budget to meet the obligation identified by CMS. The federal agency says the state could keep the funds pending appeal, but will have to pay it back with interest if it loses. Hamper says it's important that as lawmakers struggle to reach a budget agreement, that they solve this problem.
Are we kicking that can to potentially another legislature, or will it come to haunt us next year? My crystal ball's over there.
It's not clear when the committee will publicly discuss the pending Riverview issue and how it will be solved under the two-year budget that's now under negotiation. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
And finally today, Americans of a certain age will remember Slim Goodbody, a man in a unitard painted with internal organs who appeared on Captain Kangaroo and other programs as an advocate for good nutrition. The man in the costume is John Burstein, who now lives in Lincolnville and still takes the character on tour promoting good health. Burstein's also created a new musical comedy currently at Portland Stage. In The Night Kitchen, the pots and pans, the wine and cheese, the knives and spatulas come alive after the chefs have left for the night. Keith Shortall stopped by the theater for a preview.
The Night Kitchen was born from a sketch created a few years ago as part of a local fundraiser for Meals on Wheels. This production has grown to a full-blown musical, and all of the net proceeds will go to fund Preble Street, which operates services for the homeless in Portland. Burstein says he consulted with some of the state's top chefs in crafting the show and believes that foodies and kitchen staffers will get a special kick out of the fair.
A menu is a contract. The terms clear and precise. You've tendered me an offer and specified a price. The moment you accepted my dinner reservation, we established a relationship with legal obligations.
There are so many corny jokes. I got to tell you, we have a whole wine and cheese bit that comes out. We do a whole vaudeville bit, and a wine and cheese come out, and they tell, I'm not even going to give it away. There's huge potential in this. I mean, there's so much material.
Excuse me, Don Fusilli, but these tidings which you bear of threats against our families, I was not aware. Now you know that I respect you and I'll always do my share, but I see no danger for spaghetti or for angel hair.
Listen, al dente. The reason you don't see...
Putting on a show in a restaurant is very close to putting on a show in the theater. And putting on a show in the theater is very much like being alive. It's life. You know, it passes quickly. It's, you get up, you do your best, you pass on. It closes just like restaurants close and human beings' lives close. It's a great metaphor. Restaurants are a great metaphor for life and for... everything.
The Night Kitchen, they're cooking up a crazy scene. The Night Kitchen, the Franks are hooking up with beans. Chicken legs go dancing, ham and cheese romancing, walnuts cracking lousy jokes, Dr. Pepper's nursing coke.
Many people my age will remember Slim Goodbody on morning television. Is this continuation of a theme at all? Or?
You know, I think it is. It wasn't certainly a conscious choice, but it is sort of interesting. It still deals with food. Slim dealt with nutrition. I'm dealing with restaurants. There's a whole story about a chef coming to terms with this culture of celebrity, which is enormously important in the food industry, and how you can not accept yourself because you're not famous enough. And that is an issue, you know, that Slim always dealt with sort of self-concept, and you're wonderful as you, who you are. So themes play through, but, you know, it's entirely for adults, this one.
You're like a star that shines above me, and I'm so far below. I wonder, could you ever love me? What would make love grow?
If we were to sell out every show here of the 12 shows we're doing, you know, we'd see 2,000 people. If we sold out those shows, we would raise $50,000 for Preble Street, which would feed thousands of people. And so that, the combination of being able to do something for the audience and do something for a wider group of needy people is a no-brainer. And I'm at the point in my life where, you know, I want to maximize what I do.
Could you take this simple man and trust
The Night Kitchen runs through June 17th at Portland Stage. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Keith Shortall.
You can be my garden, I will be your rose, to shelter from the summer storms and from winter snows. I'll never have to be afraid.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Thursday, June 8th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.